Letters to Daniel, Volume 1, Letter 1-8, Recuperation. Printed and posted in the year of Christ our King, 2011, in the ninth month, on the seventh day of the ninth month.
Arm switches on.
Okay, Victor.
Landing rocket arm switches on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have separation.
Roger.
Inboard and outboard, you're on.
We're coming forward with the side stick.
Oh, looks good.
Roger.
I've got a blowout. Amber 3.
Get your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out. I can't hold altitude.
Correction. Alpha hold is off. Trim select is emergency.
Flight calm. I can't hold it. She's breaking up. She's breaking.
Who are you?
Astronaut. A man barely alive. We can rebuild him. We have the technology. We can make him better than he was. Better. Stronger. Faster.
Dear Dan, there are some more things that deserve mentioning that happened between the time I was injured to the time I went back to work. This would be from, say, November 1995 through November 1997. I started driving again in about October 1995 because before that I was housebound but had the services of visiting nurses and visiting physical therapists. I was housebound because part of the reconstructive surgery that occurred at Harborview required that I not bend over more than a 35-degree angle for an 8-week period. I was not allowed to sit upright on a chair. When I did sit down, I had to keep my body almost straight. Fortunately, we had a couch that was also a recliner at either end. I would carefully almost lie backwards until I got into the reclining position. I had to use a bedpan while lying down in bed to engage in a process of solid waste elimination. As soon as the bending restriction was lifted, I was able to drive again. I had a red Ford Ranger at the time. I remember the very first trip I made was to a gas station in L5. And that also meant I could sit on the toilet again. The first time I contemplated this action, I looked down at the seat, and it seemed like such a long way down, and I wondered if I could bend that far, and if I could get back up, since although I could bend over, I was very weak and still on crutches. But the risk was better than laying on the bedpan. Part of my routine that developed once I was mobile was going to physical therapy 3 times a week. After each PT session, I would go to massage therapy. But I also took it upon myself to start going to a swimming pool in L2, where I taught myself how to walk again. Well, I really didn't need to relearn to walk, but to strengthen what remained of the muscles in my left leg. I would walk back and forth in the pool where the water came up to about my chest. As my muscles strengthened, I would get into a shallower part of the pool to increase weight bearing. Something occurred during this time that was remarkable and was a sign of Jesus' continuing love for me and his work in my life. Sometime in the spring of 1996, I was laying in bed. I was still on crutches from surgery number 4. It was then, as I lay thinking about some of the psychological events that had occurred at Harborview, that I felt my mind start to slip back into what I call the land of insanity, just as I had at Harborview. It is basically the inability to control one's own thoughts, or more like this, that the mind of Satan becomes overpowering to the point of incapacitating one's personal thoughts, like a big blob sitting on one's will or ability to decide. As soon as this began to happen, I called on the name of the Lord to pull me back, which he did straight away. After this occurred, I was still being oppressed and was bordering on delusional, but I was still able to function. I decided to drive up to L3 to park and look at the lake. I remember listening to the radio and seeing some geese floating on the water and being on the edge of insanity. The next day, I had occasion to go to the store in L4. As I was walking with my cane through the front of the store, an old man came up to me rather rapidly. He handed me a business card and said, "Jesus loves us." My response was a very non-emotional, "I'm well aware that Jesus loves us," after which the old man quickly walked away. I paid for my stuff and walked out of the store to my truck. In the corner of my eye to my left, I could see three young people, teenagers, sitting on the curb, two boys and a girl. As I was putting the key into the lock to open the truck door, I heard one of them speaking these words, "God be with you." Not understanding at first what was spoken, I turned around and asked, "Say again?" "God be with you," one of them repeated. I nodded my head in acknowledgement and proceeded to get into my truck and depart. I know now that the psychological events at Harborview and later was a contrived battle brought about and provoked by the Lord to teach me the truth concerning, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And so is the Word of God made manifest in all his saints. Blessings.
This soil holds only blood, and these children hear the story of a man with broken wings who learned to fly again. Joyful songs of passion reach me now before I lay down. In my heart I know the angels are singing. Children hear the story.